We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
Yesterday, we did a special program about the fear of the Lord, and I just hadn't got out of my mind, and I was looking through Proverbs, and I found another verse, and if you have a pen and paper, you might want to write it down. You want to write this location down, the reference. It's Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Now, I want to just tell you, riches, honor, and life, that sounds like a winner. I'm just speaking. Now, how do you get it? By humility and the fear of the Lord. Well, we hope you're having a blessed day, and we hope you have a great weekend, and we're praying that church would be a vital part of your weekend. As Alex was talking yesterday, make church a part of your life and be there. And we're going to take phone calls, so we are opening up the lines right now. Here's the number. You can call and ask your Bible question, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Alex, yesterday, the fear of the Lord, it really, listen, I enjoy it all the time, but that one really touched my life, knowing that, you know, this is what we desperately need as believers, but also the non-believers need to understand it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, especially if there's anger and justice involved.
Well, amen, amen. But what peace to know that you are saved. And, Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And let me say to everybody listening, if you have not trusted Christ, yes, every waking moment would be fearful, because if you leave this world without Jesus, that's fear and judgment and condemnation. But what a joy to know that your sins are under the blood, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you belong to the Savior. The Bible says the peace that passes all understanding, meaning it's a peace beyond anything which this world could offer.
Amen, Alex. You remember what Jonathan Edwards compared the sinner that's lost is like the spider hanging on a single spider web over an open fire. That was the word picture he painted. So you want to get saved. You want to do it today. If you have questions about it, we've given you our number to call us, but there's another number we give quite often on this program, usually two or three times a week, probably more than that. It's 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM. These are our partners, and they will pray with you. They'll help you to understand what it means to know Christ and bring you to Him. So 888-NEED-HIM. I hope Amen. That you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Alex, it's Fire Away Friday. What do we do on Fire Away Fridays?
Well, we take all questions all the hour. I do have a quick prayer request. Just got off the phone, Angie and I did. Dear sister in Christ who's going to be with the Lord probably this weekend. Bert, the first person I ever baptized, I led this gentleman to the Lord, Mark Parks. He may be listening, down in Asheboro, North Carolina, and his wife, Kathy, dear, dear Christian people. And Bert, over the last 25 years, I bet they have driven probably to 125 places to hear me preach sometimes. And Kathy has leukemia, and it's not good. And just, folks, these are sweet, sweet Christian folks. They never had any kids, just Mark and Kathy. And unless the Lord intervenes, Kathy's probably going to go home to heaven over the next several days. And I'm just lifting up for God's comfort, my dear friend and brother, Mark Parks, you know.
Let's pray for them right now. Can I lead us in prayer on this one, Alex?
Please.
Father, I thank you for the friendship. Alex has shared many times those people that have been close to him. I have so many that's been close to me. And this couple, Mark and Kathy Parks, Father, right now, peace. I've been at the bedside of dying saints as Gloria Gaither penned. And it is a peaceful thing when a saved saint makes their departure from this world and goes on into heaven. And that's expected unless some miraculous thing happens. And I pray that peace that Kathy has as she transcends from this life of time into eternity would be just smoothly. And I pray for Mark that he would be strong and he would lean upon you. And Father, like Alex and others, bring those friends there that he can lean upon as he leans upon you as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bert.
Amen, brother. Hey, friendship. Listen, Alex, I want to share this. I know we're taking up time, but I just got to share this. After I got out of the full-time pastorate, you know, I had our three sons, and I was asking them, I said, boys, I said, who did you know that, you know, we worked with, you knew these people loved you just because they loved you, not for anything personal on their part to get out of me or anything. And all three named the same people. Isn't that amazing? And these people that stick to us like Kathy and Mark has been with you, they're blessings. And we're praying that all of you who are listening have friends that way. If you don't, the proverb said, if you're going to have friends, you better be friendly. Be that person to somebody so that when that time comes, listen, you can have those that come to you and strengthen you and help you. That's Alex. Thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate you, brother.
Well, amen. We're going to go to Zach in North Carolina, my home state, actually, North Carolina. Zach, thank you for holding. You're the first caller on today's edition of Exploring the Word.
Hi, my name's Zach. I really appreciate it. I started going to my church, and I'm just so glad because, you know, our Father is our King. And I started checking my Bible, you know, and it's I started looking at it. And I looked at it, and it's just so correct, you know. And then I told the church, and I told them about it, and they said that it was it was okay. So this is on Exodus 35, 6 days shall work be done, but 6 days there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. And I was just wondering, you know, I've seen, you know, Chick-fil-A is don't come on work on Sundays. And I just want to know, I just wanted to show because it just felt like, you know, this is, the Bible is so correct.
Okay. Thank you so much, Zach. Alex, I think we got most of that in. And it is Exodus 35. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest on the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. That was under the law. And again, the Sabbath, it was the day of rest. It was the seventh day of creation. And so the severity under the law, under that, was very, it says it, very deadly, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the Sabbath in the Old Testament was a ceremonial command for Jews only. There were lots and lots of things about the law, and not keeping a Sabbath was one of them. You know, it's interesting to point out that verse 3 of Exodus 35 says, you know, don't build a fire on the Sabbath day. And, you know, some people have said, well, my goodness, Why would they say that? But you know what's interesting is it would not be a hardship for Jews in what we now call Palestine, which is pretty hot virtually all year long. You know, it didn't mean they had to be in the cold or anything like that. But here's the thing. The Bible says in the New Testament, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In other words, if you look at all of the dictates of the law, including the prohibitions against Sabbath breaking, you might say, Lord, have mercy. I've made an infraction over here or over there. All this law is so minute. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's exactly the right posture, isn't it, Bert? That we can't earn our salvation, can't keep the law, so we need to be under the covering of one who perfectly did, and that's Jesus. So, Bert, we are in the Sabbath, according to Hebrews 4, in Christ. So, you know, I think it's good to take a day out to rest, but that's not part of how we get saved, is it?
It is not. It is by grace through faith. Jesus Christ went to the cross and suffered, became that supreme sacrifice, overcoming sin and death at the resurrection. Hallelujah. What a Savior, Alex.
Okay, we're going to go to Richard in Mississippi. Richard, welcome to Exploring the Word and Fire Away Friday.
Hi. Hello. Hey, guys. I love y'all. Want to start out by just sending y'all at. But I
back
had a
at
question
you, brother.
From, I had a question from Luke chapter 12, verses 48. It's Jesus giving the parable about those who have been given much, much will be required. Like, I'm looking for more clarification as to if I realize that I have a lot, what do I do from there? Like, where do I put into it?
Okay. Richard, thank you. Listen, the more light you have, the greater accountability you have. This is so true in every way. I'm going to go back to my, you know, I would say basketball days in high school playing ball. You had those fouls that were incidental, and then those fouls that were belligerent that you, man, it was severe. And
like,
you know,
the Detroit Pistons. You remember
yeah,
them?
I do, man. Let's not talk about all those guys. They were a mean machine. They were. But anyway, listen, to whom much is given, much is required, Alex. Let's just put it that way. You know, to him who is given much, it's great responsibility, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And you know, Oliver B. Green, I've shared this a number of times. He was a radio preacher. Find some Oliver B. Green sermons online. He was something else and quite a prolific author. But I heard him once say on the radio, he was passed away before I was ever around, but he said it would be a fearful thing to go to hell from America, where there's a Gideon Bible in every hotel room, there's a church on every other street corner, Billy Graham's on TV and billboards say, turn to Jesus. He said, everybody has some light, some enlightenment. But Oliver B. Green and others have said, we are accountable. And those who have had much, much, much exposure to the gospel are even more accountable to the person perhaps in some remote place and they didn't have a lot of accountability or exposure to the gospel. So the judgment of Luke 12:48, the stripes and the beating, whoever's been given much has much more responsibility. And Bert, I think that's in a lot of areas of life, don't you?
I agree, and it's true. I'm reading through Ruth right now, and we find out they left some, so those that were less fortunate could gather and be blessed. We'll be back with more right after the break.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
Yeah. When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
There's a time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus he would come again someday.
Jesus is coming again someday. You know, it could even be this day. And we give God the glory that in Christ we can be ready. No fear, but assurance if you've put your trust in the Lord. Welcome back. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland here, and this is Fire Away Friday. So glad that you're listening. The number, by the way, 888-589-8840. We love to hear from each and every listener, we do. And this is Lynn in Arkansas. Lynn, thanks for holding, and welcome to the program.
Hi. Yeah, thank you. My question is about equity. I know how they use it in the current woke situation. But anyway, I saw that word in the Bible, and I don't remember where it was. And I wanted to ask you how the Bible uses it, and if you could say how it differs from modern interpretation.
Wow, Lynn, thank you. Do you know if you were reading in King James Version or another version, Lynn? Do you know that?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. It's the New King James.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It's in Proverbs 1 and 2, because I remember when I had the privilege of teaching through Proverbs at the Cove. So in Proverbs 1, verse 3, all right, the Proverbs, here's the purpose in Proverbs 1, 2, and following, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And it's also in Proverbs 2, 9, then thou, in other words, if we heed to the Lord and his word, Proverbs 2, 9, then shall we understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. Bert, let me say this, I'm going to throw it to you. I looked up this word, this is probably a decade ago, I was working on Proverbs, and the way the Bible uses the word equity is the true value of things. For instance, let's say you buy a house for $100,000, but you owe the bank $80,000, well, your equity is $20,000. In other words, the true value. Now, it's not just monetarily, but in life, what is really valuable? Not things or fame or any of the accoutrements of this world. The true equity in this life is God, family, relationships, the church, using your gifts and abilities for the Great Commission. So the way the woke world uses equity is absolutely from the playbook of Karl Marx. They use equity to mean the forcible evening of everything. If you have plenty and somebody else is poor, well, we're going to assume that you're in the wrong, and the government will forcibly take from you and just give liberally to another. Now, there's a whole lot of problem with that, but let me say, in the way the Word of God uses equity, Proverbs 1:3, Proverbs 2:9, it's not at all that. It's a word that literally means the true value of something.
Alex, to demonstrate that, I've done this. Jane and I do it sometimes at conferences that she and I are doing. I'll take a fresh new $20 bill, and it'll be crisp, and I'll take time to wad it up, throw it down on the ground, even step on it. And I said, is it of lesser value now than it was before I did that? Now, you can't do that with baseball cards, okay? But the $20 bill, you can. It is valuable regardless, and each individual is valuable to God. That's the equity. The whole idea of it, you know, and so the biblical model is quite different, like you said, and that was a great response. And Lynn, that was a great question. That's the first time we've had that one, so thank you, Lynn.
Yes, that was a really good question. Georgia, Raymond is the caller. Raymond, welcome to Exploring the Word.
How are you doing, Brother Bert and Alex?
Good to hear
from
you.
You're doing a great job. Thank you so much. I'm a first-time caller. I was also listening if King Solomon made it to heaven. And I have a prayer request, please.
Yeah, go ahead with your prayer request, Raymond, and then we'll answer your question.
Yes, can you pray for me? I'm demon oppressed right now. I'm surrounded by demons. Can you please pray for me that the Lord will set me free from these demonic activities? I'm a believer, born-again believer, but the name of Christ is not working here. Please, I need your help.
Okay, what we're asking everybody to do, write Raymond's name down. If you have a piece of paper, write it down. I have. He's from Georgia, and he is feeling oppressed. That's what Satan loves to do. He usually uses other things as well in this oppression. So, Alex, would you mind praying for Raymond, and then we'll get to Solomon.
Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, the strong name of Jesus, the name above all names, we come to you in prayer and we lift up Raymond. And Lord, he says he's a born-again believer. Lord, then in the name of Jesus, he has power and authority. And Satan has no authority in his life. So in Jesus' name, we command the demons to go, the darkness to be dispelled. Satan must leave this man alone. So I pray over him. I pray peace. I pray just the confidence and assurance of God, because you have given us love and power and a sound mind. And fear is not of you. Stress and oppression is not of you. So I pray just complete peace and blessing and strength and even joy over Raymond. Let him be in your word. Let him rely on your promises. May your presence be very real for Raymond at this time. And Lord, we love you and we thank you that in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Raymond, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Amen. You know, we could do a whole show on the victory we have in Christ. I believe that we will absolutely see King Solomon in heaven. Now, he certainly was not a perfect man, and like his father, King David, he stumbled. But, you know, but let me just say, by the time you read the conclusion of Ecclesiastes,
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I believe Solomon, he might have fallen away, but he came back, and I am utterly confident we'll see Solomon in heaven.
I am as well. Even after that you said in verse 8 of chapter, or verse 6 in chapter 12, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, remember, he had tried all these things. He'd had all these things, wealth, you know, education, building, partying. Here's what he said. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Listen, there's no doubt in my mind, Alex, like yours, that Solomon, yes, he strayed. His heart was strayed away from God. But reading Ecclesiastes, I with all my heart, I believe he did come back in realization that, yes, he knew God and it will be in heaven. Raymond, we're praying for you, brother, and hope you have victory. listen,
amen.
Sing songs. It's good to hear them. I love. But if you're like me, you don't sound good to others. But when I'm in my car all by myself, man, I let it roar. Victory in Jesus. Alex, there's something about in tuning your voice, praising God and lifting Him up, saturating yourself in the Word. And, mm-hmm. Satan, I heard he has to flee. He tends to flee. I'm not going to be that definite. But listen, the victory is ours in Christ Jesus. Raymond, take it.
Amen. Amen. Robert in Louisiana. Welcome, Robert.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's so good to be talking to you and listening to you because I just love to listen to the input and everything. But I was listening to the guy a little bit ago who was talking about the Sabbath and what it was, and I realized that I read in Mark, I think it's 2:27, where Jesus said, "Don't you realize that the Sabbath was created for man?" And, of course, they were picking on him for healing on the Sabbath day.
Amen. So, Robert, thank you, brother. Let me read the whole thing here. And it was about his work there and, plucking grain and everything. He gives illustration of David. But then in verse 27 and 28, and I read it, and Robert, Alex will comment, and Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Alex, hallelujah, who Jesus is.
Amen. And by the way, Mark 2:28, the Son of Man, that was one of the titles for himself, straight out of the book of Daniel, one of the titles for this coming Messiah, the Son of Man, sitting on the right hand of the Father, co-equal with the Father. So Jesus, when he says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, in other words, saying, okay, pious Jews for centuries had kept the Sabbath, and in fact, their right relationship to Almighty God was in part contingent on the keeping of the Sabbath, and for Jesus to say, "I am the Lord over this Sabbath," that's two things. One, an incredible declaration of his deity, because who was the Lord of the Sabbath? God. And Jesus, in saying that he is Lord over the Sabbath, he was calling himself God there. But really, the day of rest is a gift for man. Now, David, when they were in the wilderness, they ate the bread off of the table in the temple. And Jesus did good. Remember, he said, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath?" Well, yes. And healing somebody was a good thing. And so then when he says, the Sabbath was made for man, or literally a gift for man. Man was not a gift to the Sabbath. And Bert, in a way, this is where grace surpasses law.
Amen. You know? That's true, Alex. That's an awesome statement.
It really is true.
Yeah.
That's why it's good to forgive people. Love covers a multitude of sins, you know? The saving of human life is the highest ethic. Bert, I don't mean to belabor this, but I had a professor in graduate school that was I don't say this lightly, he was a brilliant man. His name was Norm Geisler. And somebody asked the question, we were at Liberty, and a group of philosophy students came down from UVA, University of Virginia, and I'll never forget, it was a huge crowd to hear Norm Geisler, and they wanted to ask him questions. And they said, "Well, you know, during the Holocaust, Oskar Schindler saved a lot of lives, but he lied. And the Bible says, 'Thou shalt not lie.'" And then they, hid food away. They stole food. And Dr. Geisler said, "Well, look, there are gradations of ethical precepts. And we're not supposed to be relativist," but he was saying the highest ethic of all is love and life, to show grace and love and forgiveness, to save human life. So here's the thing. If in the days of Abiathar, they went in and ate the bread that was only lawful for priests, okay, that was the law. But if it meant starving to death or not, Jesus says, "Look, eating bread, if it was to save life, is the higher ethical precept. Mm-hmm. One last thing, and then I know we got to move on. But, people always ask, why did God tell the Israelites to kill the Canaanites in the Old Testament? And Dr. Geisler would have said this. Okay, what's worse, for a few thousand Canaanites and Philistines to die who wouldn't repent over 400 years, or for the human race to not have a Savior? So God had a morally sufficient reason for the killing of the Canaanites. God had a morally sufficient reason for the men to eat the showbread bread. God had a morally sufficient reason to allow Oskar Schindler to lie to the Nazis to save lives. So anyway, when it comes to the Sabbath, yeah, Jesus had a morally sufficient, plus he was God incarnate.
Amen.
But he had every right to heal on the Sabbath, didn't he, Bert?
Let me do this real quickly. Is it illegal, Alex, I'm asking you, is it illegal to knock a door in and you enter?
Generally, it would be
illegal.
It's
called, it is. But what if there's fires going on in the inside and there's people there that you're trying to save?
Exactly.
It overrides that, right?
Exactly. Okay. You know, I think about this. Speeding is against the law. But if you're getting a wounded person to the ER so that they can be saved, maybe you speed, right?
You do. Amen. Hey, Robert, thank you for that. That was awesome.
Good ethical call. Janet in Tennessee. Janet, thanks for holding.
Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy listening to your podcast. It's a blessing. I have a question. My husband and I, we were reading through the book of Revelation when I was saved. And when people are saved in our church, our pastor always says, your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As we were reading Revelation 13:8, it seems to me, according to everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the Book of Life of the Lamb who was slain. Does God have every person who's going to ever exist already in his book? And if we never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, are we then blotted out?
Okay. Hey, Janet, hang on. We got to take a break. It's a hard break. And we'll respond to that right after this break. It'll be 3 minutes, but hang on, because that's a good question. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here, and Janet has been on the line, and she's asking about Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Alex, we know about the book of life and then the Lamb's book of life. Are there any differences? Because it says something about opening the books and not just a book in heaven.
Yeah. Janet, thank you for this great call. There are quite a number of scriptures that reference the Lamb's Book of Life. not only revelation, but Philippians 4:3 talks about fellow laborers whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in fact, Revelation 17, verse 18 speaks of God's foreknowledge, because it says it references names not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. So apparently, from the foundation of the world, God knows the names that will be in the Lamb's Book of Life and those that won't be. Now, Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship the beast, all those whose names are not written in the Book of Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, Bert, let me just say this, and you feel free to agree or disagree. There is a book, sometimes it's called the Book of Remembrance of those who are born again. They've put their faith in Christ. In the Old Testament, they look to the Messiah that would come. We look back at the Messiah that did come. Same Jesus, same Messiah, just two different sides of the cross, same kind of faith. Now, some have wondered, is everybody's name in the Lamb's Book of Life? But if you reach the age of accountability, now, and I believe, and I think the Bible is clear, children or those that are not mentally capable, mentally challenged, they are under grace. But let's say a person reaches the age of accountability and they know right from wrong, and they know they need to repent and ask God for salvation, but they don't. Is their name erased from the Book of Life? Or let's say there's a place, every name of every human that ever lived could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a blank line for you, my friend, and you trust Jesus, your name is entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. But, Bert, I do believe whosoever will may come. Christ's death makes salvation possible. Your receiving of it makes salvation actual. So do names get erased, or was there a space and it never got filled in because somebody didn't believe? I don't know, but I know this. In heaven, it's the people in the Lamb's Book of Life. In hell, it's those that weren't. But friend, everybody listening, today, this moment, you can make sure your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life by calling out to Jesus for salvation.
Alex, that's excellent. And let me just share with you. There's the issue of the unknown or the unclear. There are some things in the Word of God that, it's a little unclear. Now, how do we try to handle them? We try to handle them with those things that are clear. That's good Bible study. That's what you do. It is clear that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and those who know him, he'll in no wise cast out. That is true. When you've come by faith. And so how does the books handle? I just know this, he's going to handle them correctly. And as Alex said, whether they're added to or erased, those in heaven have come to there by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. If those that are in hell, it was because they did not come to Christ. And so today, those who are listening, come to Christ and do it today.
Amen. Amen. Doug in Kansas, where I will be early next year to preach. Doug, welcome. You're on Exploring the Word.
You need to tell me where you're going to be at, and I will be there.
Well, amen. I know it's February 20 through 23. I'm going to be, I don't want to say, I know it's Kansas. I don't know where, but we got plenty of time, and I'll promote it, I assure you. But
and you can go to your website and find out where you're going to be more even all the time, can't they, Alex?
Exactly. There's a calendar on there. And, hey, by the way, look, I got to say this. We were on the phone today for like an hour. We, in June, have got a big, big event in Lindell, Texas, with Rose Heights Church. It's going to be a wonderful apologetics, biblical worldview weekend, and we'll be talking about it. But Texas friends, we're coming to see you in June. But Doug, talk to us. You're on Exploring the Word, brother.
Well, I listen to you guys almost every day.
Thank you.
So I've been talking. I look at the world and I just see there's a lot of prophetic things happening. And I just seems to me that when, Lord, when you coming, you know, I'm constantly looking up. And I was talking to a friend the other day and he says, okay, yeah, but what about all the tribes that haven't had the Bible translated into their tongue? And well, that's, you know, not everybody has had that happen yet, I guess. And then the other question was, I believe it's in Matthew 24, verse 5. Many will come claiming themselves to be Christ and will perform miracles and will deceive many. Now, that's supposedly in the end time. So it doesn't seem to me like we've had a lot of people necessarily that are standing up and claiming to be Christ and performing miracles on a worldwide, you know, we're seeing this happening. So what do you think about that verse? And is this a pre-trib? Is this post-trib? What is, when is that actually happening, when they'll stand up, claim to be Christ, perform miracles, and will deceive many?
Okay. Mm-hmm. False prophets in verse 11 sets it up, will rise up and deceive many. Now, false prophets, listen, they're not just religious false prophets. It's political false prophets. It's scientific false prophets. Anything that gets away from God. But the most severe one is those that go from salvation. Alex, 24 is talking about the second coming of the Lord. And the tribulation, you know, takes place before the actual coming of the Lord, those 7 years. And so, you know, nothing has to happen between now and the rapture of the church. Go ahead.
Right. By the way, I saw a documentary the other night. Some of you will remember, and I may not be pronouncing this correctly, Hale Salisi. Do you remember that name? He was in Jamaica, and he was also in, it might have been Ethiopia. And he just flat out claimed to be Jesus, the second coming. They sang hymns to him. People were willing to die for him. And then, do you know, like Bert, in the last 125, 150 years, there have been over 100 people. There was the Baha'ullah who started the Baha'i movement, originally out of Islam. There have been several here in the 21st century, both men and women that led cults and claimed to be Jesus. Didn't claim to teach for Jesus, claimed to be Jesus. Now, they were false Christ. Bert, I've heard it said, if anybody ever said that, you know, all you need to do is say, may I look at the palms of your hands?
Amen.
You
good
know,
question.
Because in the whole universe, there's only one pair of nail-scarred hands. But regarding the Matthew 24, 5 and others, Bert, I'm with you. I don't think there's anything that has to happen before the rapture, after which will unfold 7 years of tribulation. And Jesus said in verse 14 of Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a witness to all nations, and the end shall come. And it really has, especially with the internet. And I know it's not as prevalent as we wish, but really the whole world has access to the gospel, at least on some level. And so Christ can come, and it may very well be soon. Thank Amen. You for that, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Angela in Iowa, I believe. Angela, welcome.
Thank you guys so much. You are such a blessing to me. We love you. My question is, I was listening to you, Alex, this morning as you were filling in for Pastor Jeff Shreve, and
yes.
You were talking about Paul's his letters to Timothy and kind of end times. Our world is crazy, but my question is, you were referring to some of the characteristics of the Antichrist, and I was wondering if you could please maybe repeat those or help me find that in Scripture as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, I was on Jeff Shreve's program this morning, and a lot of what I was reading was out of 2 Timothy 2 and then 2 Timothy 3, especially 2 Timothy 3, perilous times will come. Now, I mentioned also 1 John chapter 2, and in 1 John 2, there are a couple of characteristics. It says this in 1 John 2, 18, you've heard that the Antichrist will come. Even now, there are many Antichrists in the world. Hereby, we know it is the last days. Now, 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies Jesus and the Father. So the mindset, one of the key characteristics of Antichrist is denial of the deity of Jesus and the exclusivity of Christ's salvation, that Jesus alone is the Savior. Now, there's coming an Antichrist, a man so full of the devil. And Bert, it says he will not regard the God of his fathers nor have the desire for women. And I believe me, I know this is very incendiary and politically incorrect. Some have speculated that whoever the Antichrist is, he might be part Jewish at least, because the phrase, quote, the God of his fathers, generally refers to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
Yahweh. And do you know, a lot of the reformers like Luther thought that he would be from the tribe of Dan, but not have the desire of women. Now, does that mean he's just so career-driven he didn't take time to get married? Bert, I believe, go back to 2 Timothy 3:1-5, you've got verse 3, one of the attributes of the time, without natural affection. Now, scripturally, unnatural affections generally refer to homosexual activity. And look, we've lived in the age where the homosexual and transgender mindset has been crammed down our throats. What am I saying, Bert? The mindset of Antichrist to deny Jesus, deny Scripture, deny moral boundaries, to deny human biology itself, lawlessness. We're living in times like that, aren't we, Bert?
We are. And what this does, when you describe this, you're talking about just being Antichrist, which would not only be creation and redemption. So the first part of what you were talking about is creation, denying who Christ is, what he came for. But then in the area of natural identity, no affection, you know, for women, it would be that of creation. So the Antichrist comes against everything that God is in creation and in redemption. You catch what I'm saying, Alex?
Exactly.
And so that's where he goes, and that's what he does.
Amen. Angela, thank you. And by the way, Bert and I did a series on Daniel, Revelation, and Bible prophecy. It's probably at the AFA resource page, and we answer some end times questions in our books. And by the way, I just want to say how much I give God the glory. Folks, I hope you know neither Bert nor I are doing this for accolades or anything. We just love the Lord. But if you've got the Stand magazine, and you open it, the inside front cover, our two books are in there. And, you know, not unto us, O Lord, give glory, Psalm 115:1. But Bert, when that magazine came last Saturday, I just got emotional that you and I can do this to the best of our ability, set forth God's word.
Amen.
On the printed page, via the airwaves. Are we not blessed to get to do this?
We are blessed beyond measure. Now, why do we make much of the Word? Because we want you to know the God of the Word. That's the whole idea. That is where we come from. When you look into the Word of God and you see how God operates, when you see who God is, listen, it will draw you to Him. Jesus being lifted up, if you could only know Him, you'll be drawn to Him. So come to Christ. Don't wait.
Randall in North Carolina, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Okay. I'm asking about purity. God's in the head, that there's emotions going through my mind that I really don't pay attention to, but I should. In my earlier Christian life, that emotion and the spirit would, you know, went together. They put them together. Right now, he's sort of saying the spirit is more important than emotion is present, but not all the time. And I've experienced both just mind and just emotion in a sense, but, you know, give me some delineation on discerning just the Holy Spirit alone.
Go ahead, Alex. Time, got a minute and a half, maybe.
Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know, we are to pursue purity. You know, the Bible talks about Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O God. And Bert, I think the Holy Spirit leads us into purity. I'm going to try to get Gene in Michigan. We're going to try to get your question in very quickly there, Gene. Welcome.
Hi. I want to know, when you lose a baby in pregnancy, when you get to heaven, how old will they be? Will they still be a baby or an adult?
Okay, it's a good question. We don't know for sure. A lot of folks think it's going to be around Jesus' age when he started his ministry and went to the cross. Alex, what do you think? Yep.
You know, 30 to 33, the perfect age, the prime of life. I actually think the babies, they go straight to heaven. And I think when we see our loved ones and the unborn in heaven, they'll probably be mature grown-ups like the age of Christ, the second Adam. A verse that speaks to that a little bit is 2 Samuel 12:23. But Bert, it's been a good show, hasn't it?
It really has, and we appreciate all of you who called in. We appreciate those of you who are listening. Pray for Raymond. That's our prayer request, and we'll see you next week.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.